Welcome to All Fired Up. I'm Louise, your host, and this is the podcast where we talk all things anti-diet. Has diet culture got you in a fit of rage? Is the injustice of the beauty ideal getting your knickers in a twist? Does Fitspo make you want to spitspo? Are you ready to hurl if you hear one more weight loss tip? Are you ready to be mad, loud, and proud? Well, you've come to the right place. Let's get all fired up.
Great news, diet culture dropouts. Today, I'm bringing you an amazing story of diet culture bullshit at its most outrageous. Yes, it is time for part two of our episode on the Dastardly Edit collaboration. So today, we are going to delve into their connection with the TESA chatbot from NEDA, the American Eating Disorder Organization. My guest today is Sharon Maxwell, who is happily now recovered from her bout of COVID, and she is seriously fired up about all of the harm which is happening in the eating disorder world right now. If you love us here on All Fired Up, please help us spread the word by going to Spotify or Apple Podcasts and leave us a tremendously fiery five-star rating, and if you've got a little bit of spoons, a nice review. And of course, if you're not subscribed, make sure you do so you don't miss our exquisite rants as they drop every single week. The All Fired Up podcast is brought to you by our brand new Untrapped Academy. There's so much anti-diet info out there, and it can be hard to find the time and the energy to digest it all. I created the Untrapped Academy to help overwhelmed anti-dieters get access to really top-notch information, skills training, and support in really easy-to-digest 30-minute chunks. Every month, we give you an inspiring speaker talk, a skills training session to bring anti-diet ideas to life, plus a support group. There's also a really amazing private Facebook community, and we have hundreds of friendly anti-dieters ready and welcome to support you. We record all of our events and we pop them into our resource library for you to watch whenever you want, if you can't come to a live training. The library already has a seriously awesome set of talks from inspiring anti-diet leaders, including Diane Bondi, Christy Harrison, Dr. Sabrina Strings, Reagan Chastain, Fiona Sutherland, Sophie Hagen, Chrissy King, E.K. Dauphin, Lacey Jade Christie, Ashley Gillen, Dr. Fiona Willer, and Megan Crabb. And we're adding new talks all the time. In June, I'm super excited to be welcoming Hillary and Dana, authors of Reclaiming Body Trust. And we're going to be talking all about unpacking our body stories. The Untrapped Academy is the ultimate way to learn anti-dieting in really digestible, easy-to-consume snack-sized pieces. And there's so many wonderful teachers. So if you have struggled with food, with your body, with exercise, if you've got absolutely over the bullshit of diet culture, come and join us. And if you're new to anti-dieting and wanting information, skills training and support, we are here for you. And if you're a seasoned anti-dieter looking to keep up with all the new developments in the anti-diet world, come and join us. The Untrapped Academy is a serious bargain. The first month is just one Aussie dollar. And then you can choose from either a $15 a month fee to access the recordings only, or you can pay $25 a month to access everything live, attend our support group, and be a part of the Facebook group. So there's a membership level for everyone. And of course, if you've got people like clients, patients, friends, family members, colleagues, anyone you think might benefit from joining the Untrapped Academy, please let them know about us. Just head over to untrapped.com.au. On with the show. So today, my guest is the fiercely awesome Sharon Maxwell, fat activist, weight inclusive consultant, and public speaker based in San Diego in the USA. Sharon's recent Instagram posts about her experiences with a bot called Tessa have recently earned the absolute ire of the eating disorder and fat community. If you haven't already listened to episode 83 with Shavice Turner on how obesity researchers are now claiming eating disorder expertise, please listen to that one first so today's conversation is better contextualized. As I briefly mentioned in the chat with Shavice, members of the EDIT collaboration are connected with the largest eating disorder organization in the United States, NIDA. And recently, NIDA sacked their entire eating disorder helpline staff and replaced them with a chatbot called Tessa. If this wasn't bad enough, I mean, a chatbot for people suffering with eating disorders, you know, the most deadly mental health disorder and a disorder that's really highly stigmatized. I mean, I know how hard it is for people to ask for help when they're suffering. And we know that less than 10% of people with eating disorders ever actually get help. So the courage taken to call a helpline is just enormous. And then to be met by Tessa, a bot, instead of people who genuinely understand what it's like and how to gently encourage people and empower them to get more help. It's unbelievable that this job was left up to a bot in the first place. But then it gets worse. Tessa starts giving callers weight loss advice. I am not joking. My guest today, Sharon, was one of the people who encountered Tessa and received countless messages that are completely outrageous. This conversation will blow your mind.
Sharon, welcome to the show. What is firing you up?
Hi, Louise. I would say today I got pretty fired up about this whole cottage cheese trend, turning it into ice cream. And have you not seen that?
It's
been viral on social media. People are blending cottage cheese.
Oh, for God's sake.
Freezing it and calling it ice cream. And of all of the absurdities in the world, that one got me. I've got a lot of things that fire me up, but that was one I was just like laughing at and completely my jaw drops when I see these absurd creations.
It is such a sad kind of comment on where you're at with food if you have to kind of pretend like that. Like, remember the cauliflower rice?
Literally exactly what I was thinking. Let's please not make cottage cheese the new cauliflower ingredient in our like, I feel like people either love or hate cottage cheese. There's not much of a middle ground there. I personally love it. And so why can't we just let cottage cheese be cottage cheese and ice cream be ice cream and move on to the day?
Yeah, but you know what? Because diet culture is a gaslighty bin fire that needs to keep us confused about everything.
Could not have said it better.
Speaking of which, you have revealed a bin fire lately, which has been kind of blowing up the anti-diet space with all this stuff that's happening with NIDA.
Yes. So I do want to say that my post went viral, but there have been people far more marginalized than I am who have been talking about the harms that NIDA, the National Eating Disorder Association in the United States, has been doing to folks who don't fit the stereotypical image of an individual with an eating disorder, which we know actually is less than 6% of folks with eating disorders that live in that thin, white, affluent, young, cisgendered, female, teenage girl body, right?
Mm-hmm.
It seems that that's all that NIDA has cared about for a very long time. I happened to make a post about Tessa, their chatbot that replaced their human helpline. And this chatbot was highly problematic and steeped in so much diet culture. And that post went viral. And NIDA had already been in the headlines in the US and actually in a lot of international pieces as well, because union busting is illegal. And they had their helpline folks try to form a union, or they formed a union. And then 4 days later, they were told they were being replaced.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
How many people were sacked?
Yeah, so there were 6 paid staff members and 200 volunteers. Oh. So I believe from the people who've been on the helpline that I've talked to and then articles that I've read, I believe there was 4 that unionized. So I'm not sure about these other 2. I haven't actually asked, and that's been a question mark in my brain. Before unionized, and they didn't actually ask for more pay, which is something that a lot of folks do when they unionize. They were asking for more resources and more support. That was their request, resources and support. But with that, they They gave them the boot. And then the US's NPR, National Public Radio, came out with a piece where they were able to leak part of Jeffrey Craddock, who's on the, I think he's the chair of their board at NIDA, firing them. And in it, he tells them that they're being replaced by the chatbot, which now NIDA has come out and said, we didn't ever try to replace them. It wasn't swapping one for the other. This was a long planned goal. And the timing was just not great when people tried to unionize right before. Like, they're just constantly trying to cover their ass. But yeah, nothing really adds up. There's lots of lies. And the fact that Jeffrey Craddock is literally
his out of his mouth.
Yeah. You hear his voice saying these words. And it's been interesting to watch NIDA play this dance with the media and to see them at one point call. So for context, for those who are listening, I engaged with Tessa, this chatbot, over a holiday weekend and for funsies in the background.
Wait, that's how we have fun in the anti-diet world, right?
Yeah, but no, I was bored on a Friday evening. People had canceled plans with me, so I was alone with my cat and my dog at home. And I was in the bathtub with a glass of wine. Excellent. And I had some ice cream, literally.
Like not cottage cheese, actual ice cream.
No, actual ice cream, some chocolate ice cream. It was amazing. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to text Tessa, because people had been telling me that Tessa was giving problematic answers, some that were nonsensical, some that were actually harmful. I was like, I'm going to give it a try. And when I did, Tessa outlined for me how to intentionally lose weight in a very harmful way, which, I mean, is harmful in and of itself, especially from the National Eating Disorder Organization.
You were ringing an eating disorder hotline and you're getting a robot telling you how to lose weight.
Yes. And you know, it's back to, like, this ties back to what I was saying a moment ago. And it's been interesting to see NIDA's responses in the news. I've spoken with almost 50 reporters at this point. And on these pieces that I've not seen all, but I've seen a lot of them. And the CEO of NIDA, Liz Thompson, has said, oh, bad actors tried to fool the chatbot to get it to say what they wanted it to say. So then I posted screenshots of exactly what I said to Tessa, because I was not in, like, I said, hi, Tessa, was my first message. And then I was like, how do you support folks with eating disorders? And this chatbot told me three things. It said, we give folks coping mechanisms. Great. Love that. Secondly, we provide resources to clinicians. Also great. Things that I think a chatbot could likely provide and do a good job with. The third thing that it said was that I provide healthy eating habits. That's
seriously the
second message Tessa sent to me.
Seriously.
Yes. And so I then said, what are your healthy eating habit tips?
I know. Of course you'd ask that question. You'd be like, what the hell, Tessa?
Imagine. I mean, yeah, I was like, what the hell? But also, if I was in my eating disorder actively, my question would not have been, what are your coping skills? Can you send me to a professional? Someone tells me they're going to tell me how to eat healthy, I'm going to say, "What? How do I do that?"
Yeah.
And it listed 10 things for me, three of which were restrictive. It told me to limit certain types of foods, only eat certain types of foods, limit certain types of drinks. This is my third message received from Tessa. So Liz Thompson calling me a bad actor is a flat out lie.
Yeah.
And as I investigated further, she continued to say in different reports, like, oh, it turned into an AI. It went off the rails. It was supposed to only be a body positive program, which the body positive program in and of itself, I have thoughts on that too, because
this is where we cross over from me talking to Shavise a little while ago, talking about Denise Wilfie being the person that developed this body image program and her being frankly anti-fat.
Yes, 110%. She and then Dr. Taylor Bars and then Ellen Fitzsimmons Kraft, these individuals, their work is heavily in the, I don't use the word obesity because I believe it to be a slur for fat folks.
Yeah, me too.
So I say O slur. So I'll say that. but they work heavily in the Osler industry, and it is an industry, right?
Oh, and it is. And they are real, like, they're real fence straddlers. Like, they sit on the fence with the fence up their butt, like, going, at the same time, we can cure your binge eating disorder and diet you down to an acceptable size.
Right. Yeah. But are they actually, or are they giving people anorexia?
Well, I mean, that's medically supervised anorexia, which is apparently okay.
Yeah, exactly. Well, then what I can tell you is that I shouldn't have actually almost died 5 years ago when I was diagnosed with an eating disorder, because I had medically prescribed and supervised anorexia, undiagnosed and untreated, for 19 years, thanks to my doctors putting me on diets, non-consensual diets, and my parents doing what the doctors prescribed and everyone else in this world telling them that they should do to treat my fatness. And
that is horrible.
Yeah. Yeah. When people look at me, if I say I have an eating disorder, they're like, oh yeah, I eat too much too. It's just this automatic assumption that fat folks have binge eating disorder, but binge eating disorder affects people of all sizes. And so do all of the eating disorders. In fact,
anorexia and anorexia in larger body people is way more common.
Yes. That's what I was literally about to say. Like, it is highly, like, calling it atypical, it should be in the inverse. There's actually talk about them changing atypical anorexia in the next diagnostic, the DSM-6, to restrictive eating disorder, to call it RED instead of atypical anorexia, like completely taking the word anorexia away from it.
What?
And just calling it restrictive eating disorder.
Why don't we just call it anorexia?
Like, what it is, exactly what it is. Because I can tell you, my heart didn't give a fuck. I don't know if it's okay to curse on this.
Oh, like, I seriously encourage. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. My heart didn't give a fuck about whether or not I had typical or atypical anorexia, like zero.
The only difference in the DSM between so-called atypical and anorexia is the BMI, which is the bullshit measuring index. And so to differentiate the same mental illness and have different categories because of a size difference, it just reflects the level of weight stigma that we have really, really exposed and continue to expose in the eating disorder world. And, you know, it really is an important time. And I think Tessa, bless her, you know, her... her harm, it is not, I really wanted to know from you, like, what on earth happened? Because I keep reading Nita saying stuff like, it was a carefully programmed body image thing. And then the tech guys that we sold the bot to, that's when she went rogue. But I think, what do you think about the body image program and, like, what was inputted to Tessa?
Right. So yeah, absolutely. I have thoughts about the program in and of itself, because since this happened, where my post went viral, news coverage wants to cover anything about artificial intelligence and union busting, right? So that's how we got headlines in the news. Ellen Fitzsimmons Kraft has been the main spokesperson for Tessa on behalf of it. And
she developed it?
Yes. She's one of the developers. Exactly. And so she, out of Denise Wifely's lab. So she has said that Tessa was created to be a preventative tool to help prevent the development of eating disorders. So the very first thing when I heard her say that popped in my head was, why in the fuck would the National Eating Disorder Association, the largest eating disorder nonprofit, which is masquerading as a nonprofit, but strictly actually as a for-profit, is what it's their behavior show, but I digress. Mm-hmm. Why would NIDA have a preventative tool be their number one thing that people can reach out to when going to their site? If people are going to NIDA's website, they are going there because either they or someone they love has an eating disorder already. We are not in the game at this point of trying to prevent something from happening. This is already here.
Yeah, so we're trying to get people educated about what an eating disorder is and where to get help, right? That's what a helpline here in Australia would do.
Right, exactly. Right. And then furthermore, if we look at the content that Tessa is putting out, and I will say that Nita has said that this was like a surprise to them the first time they've heard any messages, only 10 to 25 messages out of 28,000 were harmful, when I had exactly 25 harmful messages that Tessa sent me. What I know is that back in October of 2022, Nita was reached out to by the head of Meta, which is, I don't remember, MEDA. It's another eating disorder organization, and I can never keep all of the acronyms.
No, it's great. Just so many.
Yes. But Meta reached out and said, hey, your chatbot is giving harmful dieting tips.
Really?
And yes, they called them on it. And this Monica Ostroff, the director of Meta, has gone on record, and I forget which article she's in, but telling folks, I have this email thread where I sent this information to Nita, and they said that they were going to work on fixing it at that point. But Nita is crying wolf and saying that this was just a totally blindsided. Only this many harmful messages were sent. So what do they consider harmful? Is a question I have. Because if you can dwindle down to only 10, like which 10 of the 25 harmful messages that were sent to me do you consider harmful, and which 15 do you not? And then we have proof of others. I have gotten screenshots from so many people. But then if we look at just the body positivity portion of it, body positivity, I have issue with that phrase. It's mainly been co-opted by white, thin to mid-sized individuals scrunching over and trying to find a roll of fat on their belly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. To have a normal, quote unquote, normal body.
Yeah.
And a lot of the recommendations that Tessa gave were things like looking in the mirror and saying something nice to myself.
Yeah.
Showing gratitude towards my body, which is there a place for that? Sure. And I, as a fat person, living in this world that hates and despises my fatness, I face real harm every day because of the fact that this society is woven, the fabric of the society is woven together with anti-fat bias, which is rooted in racism, which harms people of color far greater than I. Or than me. I used to be an English teacher, which one is it? And I'm messing up. That's human. And it is simply looking in the mirror and saying, oh, I appreciate my legs for carrying me throughout the day, is putting a Band-Aid on an infected wound and expecting that to not allow the infection to get to my bloodstream. It's bullshit. It's not. So there's just, from beginning to the fact that it's a preventative measure to what it actually does, how is that the thing that is helping folks?
Yeah, I think that's so well put, like that body positivity as a Band-Aid to erase like weight prejudice and like the whole bullshit of diet culture.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not effective. And that's why I do think, like, maybe at some level, thank you, Tessa, for kind of showing the world and the media that even our eating disorder organizations are just not quite getting it when it comes to looking at an eating disorder for anyone other than a very thin white woman.
Yeah. And you know what? I would also say that just looking in the mirror as a thin white person recovering and saying, I'm grateful for my legs, and not doing the work to deconstruct from their own internalized anti-fat bias doesn't give them the opportunity to fully enter meaningful, lasting recovery. In order to do that, each one of us has to break down these systems of oppression that we have been conditioned. It's like the air that we breathe outside. It is so natural to us to, and if I'm not breaking that down, and if I'm not deconstructing from that, and I'm simply looking in the mirror and saying, oh yeah, I'm not actually fat. Like, how is that helping me? Just to affirm that I'm not fat, that's continuing to feed into anti-fat bias
and exactly. The fear of being
fat. So I would say that body positivity is not it for a person, regardless of their
fat. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I want to ring up Tessa and for Tessa to be like this extremely pissed off, like feminist diet culture abolisher. I totally agree. It will help not just everyone get access to proper eating disorder treatment without going to eating disorder treatment and then getting like weight loss tips, but it will bulletproof everyone's recovery. Because at the moment it's woefully inadequate, no matter what size you are. But even for the thins, it's not giving them lasting recovery, because that fundamental fear of becoming larger isn't being challenged.
Well, and the truth is, Louise, that even in our treatment centers, the same thing comes up. I am a weight inclusive consultant for treatment centers at this point, and I help them look at their anti-fatness and help them find ways to radically change the way they are approaching eating disorder recovery, so that all folks can have an opportunity to not just be in this cyclical process of relapse and back in treatment and staying sick. And I think that a large component of that is anti-fatness. I know personally, I did not have the opportunity to fully enter meaningful recovery because I was underfed as a fat person the entire time I was in treatment. People were scared to feed me appropriately because I was already fat. So I left treatment with orthostatic vitals every time I was there. And it took my outpatient dietitian to walk me through refeeding. And we're not even touching the surface now of all of the thin people in treatment who were filled with anti-fatness, who were anti-fat bias, who were not being shown how to deconstruct that and how harmful that was for me as a fat person, seeing someone say they wanted to end their life if they had to gain a pound, and no one stood up to that in the room. And it is so systemic, and it's also a product of our capitalistic society as well. Mm-hmm. And so it is, like, when I look at these treatment centers and we sit down and look at how highly problematic they are, it is headache inducing. It is like stomach curdling. Uh-huh. It is vile that our systems are set up to cause so much harm. And I think that because eating disorders are mental illnesses that impact our physical health so much, I think I can understand how in a capitalistic society where we're, especially in the United States, where our health is something and our health care is something that they're making profits off of us with, like the absurdity of that, right? I think it makes sense that the medical modality of quote unquote treating OSLR comes into treatment for eating disorders because of how much they impact our physical health. But it's not an excuse or an out. It is the responsibility of these treatment centers and these eating disorder nonprofits to stop this harm and to make treatment accessible and safe for people of all identities.
So there's plenty of other organizations that are much more able, I think, to take eating disorders into the next realm of meaningfully addressing fat phobia, don't you think?
So I do think that I have been recommending 7 organizations, and what I will say, eating disorder organizations in the US specifically, that I have seen them doing better work than NIDA. I also think there's problematic pieces with a lot of them. And I will say that the whiteness is very real. As a white person, I think that we need to be very cautious that any inclusion of people of color is not tokenization, and that we're not further harming these individuals. But I do see, and again, I'm a white person speaking to this, so I may not be getting this completely right, but I do believe that these eating disorder nonprofits are actively showing that they are trying to and making not just efforts, but real work in supporting folks, all folks with eating disorders. And do they need to hire people of color and people who are far more marginalized than I am to look at all that they are doing and give them real feedback on how they need to make meaningful change, like if they haven't already? Likely, like not likely, if they haven't already, absolutely, right? Mm-hmm. But I do believe that these people, like I mentioned, the one director of one of these eating disorder organizations. I know three CEOs or directors who have spoken to media now about Nita, because it's almost like Nita is this narcissistic parent in the eating disorder community. And they have people who have been on NDAs and people who can't speak up about the harm that Nita has done to them. And they've been so sneaky with the ways that they've approached all of this, that at this point, though, we can't stand for the harm they're doing. And we need to show what their true colors are and move on. But we also cannot be complacent, and we cannot allow whiteness, white supremacy, and all of the harm that has been so present, that has been a direct result of racism, be still at the forefront of these. So yes, and it's a yes and
yeah,
state.
Yes and yeah. At least there's hope, right? With this.
No. Yes. And I want people, I feel like I've been like, I am a hope holder, and that's what's gotten me through my life. Right. And I will continue to hold hope, and I'm fighting for it. Yeah. And I also, if for anybody out here who's working in these nonprofit eating disorder organizations or treatment centers, and especially my white people listening, we have got to do better too. So it's like a call to action, and also like, fuck yeah, there's hope.
Yeah, absolutely. The revolution is here. And Nita are the equivalent of the frozen cream cheese. And the future is ice cream.
Yeah. No, 1,000%.
Yeah. Thank you so much for everything that you're doing. It's just wonderful.
Yes. Yeah, so great to talk with you today. Thanks for having me.
So outrageous. Thank you so much to Sharon for coming on the show, recovering from COVID, but still being completely furious and advocating to hashtag leave Nita behind. We all deserve better than the likes of Tessa. If you'd like to follow Sharon and learn more about the dastardly deeds of Nita, follow her on Instagram at Hey Sharon Maxwell. So thanks so much, everyone, as always, for listening and for being part of this All Fired Up community. We'll be back next week with some more steaming diet culture bullshit. In the meantime, look after yourself, trust your body, think critically, push back against diet culture. Untrap from the crap.